Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. But as always, and especially for the first-time listeners on tonight, welcome aboard, and I do ask all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens, get your paper, so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to bring forth the word of God on tonight. But as we always do, we always open up with a word of prayer. So I'm asking our listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He can hear all of our prayers at the same time. He says in his word that we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. So right now we're going to yield the mic to my nephew, Robert Edwards. He's going to offer up a word of prayer. So please join in with this prayer, listeners.
Thank you for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now saying thank you. A simple thank you for taking us as far as you have. We come to you right now, Lord, asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness for the things that we know we have done that are not and pleasing in the eyes of you, Lord. Things that we do not fully recognize that we have done or said or even thought that are not in the eyes or not right in the eyes of you, Lord. We ask that you cleanse us and make us whole. Lord, right now we know that there are people around the world that stand in need of help, disaster relief, food, shelter, clothing. Lord, we ask right now that you cover those people right now. Cover those people right now with your loving arms, your safety blanket. We ask right now that people that are recovering right now from fires, wildfires, tsunami disasters, things that we don't always fully recognize in our everyday life here in the United States, but people are in need right now. We ask that you go and be with those people right now and keep those people covered under your blanket. Lord, right now we ask that the word that is brought forth tonight will reach far and wide and be fully effective to every single listener tonight and on from today. We ask that every ear that hears the sound of the voices that are heard tonight, we ask that those listeners' minds and hearts are open to fully receive the message that is going to be brought forth on tonight. We ask that, Lord, everything that we stand in need of, those that are suffering from depression, from suicide, from just grief, Lord, we ask that you go and be with those people. Keep them lifted up and let them know that it is only through you that we can survive this time on earth, Lord. It is through you that can give us full life, full restoration. And all these blessings right now we ask in the name of Jesus, we pray and say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Amen to that prayer. We want to thank my nephew, Robert Edwards, for offering up a word of prayer and for every listener that agreeing with this prayer on tonight. For we know that God does everything well. On tonight, we have another spiritual food for thought Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, listening is one of the loudest forms of kindness. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, listening is one of the loudest forms of kindness. I'm not going to do a music break on tonight because we are going to get ready to hear from Deacon Marvin Cox. We know he always brings an awesome word of the Lord. And we want to make sure that all listeners have time to get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, because he always shares with us inspirational poems first before we go into God's Word. Before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, I would like to announce these following announcements. Again, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to receive the Word, but also I pray that you have your pens and paper ready to take down these following announcements regarding my other shows that are under my direction. God has opened many doors for me in this radio platform, and it's glorious and it's marvelous in our eyes, so we give God the glory for it. So you, the listener, you can tune in and be blessed by others that are bringing forth God's Word as well. Starting with Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, and his show is titled, again, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He is the host. His show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Then we have Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee. Her show airs each fourth Thursday and first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. And finally, we have Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Sharon Rambis. He is the armor bearer of my bishop and pastor, James A. Jennings of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, located here in Detroit, Michigan. Once again, his show title is Ministry I'm Possible, and his show airs each and every second Thursday and every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. So I hope you wrote those names of the shows and the hosts and the times down so that you can tune in to them and receive more word from the Lord, because we know that the Lord is using many people all over the land to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. So I pray that you now have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to receive the word of God from none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, as he's ready to bring forth the word of God. And as he's going to share a poem first. And I pray that you are ready to receive this word on tonight. So we're not going to do a music break. So right now I yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you to deliver to God's people what he has placed in your heart to deliver for us to hear on tonight after you have shared your inspirational poem.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, and also thank Brother Edwards for that heartfelt prayer. It's been a while since I've been on the air, but nevertheless, I just thank God for, once again, this awesome opportunity that he has given me once again. I don't know why he keep fooling with me, but I'm glad that he did. Now, tonight's poem is directed to all of those that are in authority, from the pastors on down to the mothers, the fathers, the uncles, the aunties, the supervisors on the job. This is, as a matter of fact, this is for everyone. And it's dealing sometimes with the frustration of trying to do what is right unto people. Now, the title of this poem tonight is called I Tried. And the subtitle of it is The Waiter. I served them a meal, but they refused to eat. Then they went out into the world, and they tried to compete. A royal feast was prepared on a silver platter, but they turned up their noses at it as if it didn't matter. This meal had all of the nutrients to help their mind and body stay strong, and all the ingredients to help them along. They were served the platter of love with just a smidgen of faith. Patience and understanding were all over the plate. A serving of humility to get them through the day. An ounce of forgiveness to eat before they pray. Compassion, mercy, and grace were in full view. A cup of charity, hope, and devotion were on the table too. But some said, I'm still not hungry. I'll just eat later. I reminded them, I am not the cook. I'm just a waiter. In case you didn't know, or in case you haven't heard, the meal that was prepared was God's holy word. Like anybody else, I hate to see good food go to waste. I couldn't recommend it to you if at first I didn't taste. I made sure there was a smile on my face and my hands were clean. The most important thing about serving others is proper hygiene. In order to serve, you must live a clean life. Try to avoid all the contaminants that would bring toil and strife. I found out the reason some people said they will eat later. They lose their appetite for God's word because of the waiter. So please, in all you say and do, some people reject God's word because of you. Servant, clean up your life before you start serving others, your mother, your father, your sisters, and brothers. God's word won't come back void, nor will it be denied. When the Lord asks that you feed my sheep, you can reply, Lord, I try. Amen. Now, we're going to go immediately into tonight's lesson. It's a continuation of the word that God has been giving me. And if you know the method that God has given me, he always gives me a word, but he lets me know that I have to give people a history of the word so we know the right frame of mind that the author, the writer, or even the characters that in the story, how they felt. And it might not necessarily justify the actions that they took, but it will give us a much, much better understanding. Now, the word tonight is coming from the gospel recorded by St. John, the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 17. But as I said, I will give you the history of this particular scripture by reading to you from the first verse all the way down through the 17th verse. And it reads from the book of St. James. Amen. And it reads, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed him he himself. They were together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately that night they caught nothing, excuse me. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, when Jesus loves, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself unto the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but that it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come in to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish and thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than thee? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him in the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I just read unto you from the gospel recorded by St. John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 17. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, if I were to choose a topic for this evening, that topic would be the expectations of love. Now, those of us who are serving the Lord, we got it easy. We know that the expectations of love are not that strenuous, are not that tedious, are not that hard for us to comply with. And so, to bring you up to date with the scriptures, right after the Lord had got, right after he got crucified, and the disciples had somehow went their own separate ways, and then they had to basically, like, fend for themselves. So Peter said, I go a-fishing, because, see, we know that Peter was a fisherman. The disciples were fishermen and tent makers and so forth and on, and so they went out fishing. So they were out on the ocean or out on the sea all night long. And they never did catch anything. So someone appeared on the shore and asked them, as any fisherman would, hey, are they biting? Did you catch anything? So they said no. So he said, hey, why don't you fish on the right side of the ship? So we don't know whether the right side or the left side, or left side or the right side. So evidently, it was the wrong side of the boat that they were fishing on. So they cast their nets into the sea, and the net began to yield so many fishes, say 153 great fishes of all sizes. And so they knew that it was the Lord. So when Peter, they told him, Peter, thou one that thou lovest, that this is the Lord. So he went out to meet the Lord. So to make a long story short, it was a great feast that was prepared for them. And verse number 15 says, after they had dined. Now we're going to get into the expectations of look. It says, after they had dined. So when they had dined, so this is afterwards. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Now we're going to stop right there because it was a crucial question that was asked of Peter. And we said to ourselves, well, why would the Lord ask him something like that? And see, he identified him. He says, Simon, son of Jonah. So it was no mistaking who he was talking to at this particular time. He asked me, said, do you loveth me more than these? So we natural for us to know that it was the disciples that the Lord was talking about. He was asking Peter, he said, do you love me more than you love these? And sometimes we are asked that question, but we're not too familiar with how to respond to that. Well, Lord, you know I love my wife. Lord, you know I love my wife. You know I love my children. So it was a reason why the Lord asked that. That's because your love, my love, Peter's love, see, he said these, which were those people that were present at that time. So he was asking Peter, do your love for me supersede the love that you have for everybody that is present? Now, see, that's very important because, see, it was times when they ran into dilemmas and they began to question the Lord and they told the Lord, Lord, we have left all, we have forsaken all to follow you. Now we're in trouble. But the Lord will reassure you when you leave those menial things behind. He will tell you that I got your back. I got you. Don't take none of these things with you that's going to bog you down. Don't take no money. Don't take no script. Don't take this. Don't take that. I got you. So your love, or Peter's love, he told the Lord, he said, yes, Lord. Yeah, I do. My Lord, my love for you supersedes all of these right here. Because he is, once again, as I say, it's important. Because the Lord, and then he gave him a simple expectation. After Peter's reply, said, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Now we're going to start off with the lambs. Why? Because out of the whole flock, the lambs are the most vulnerable. We're going to say lamb is what? In layman's terms, lamb is a baby sheep or an immature sheep or a sheep that has not reached the adolescence. So it's important that your love supersedes, for the Lord supersedes your love for the lamb. And the reason being that sometimes the preachers, sometimes parents, sometimes supervisors, we have what you would call a conflict of interest. And we will neglect something or someone that is attached to someone that we love. And the reason why I'm going this way is because if you think about this, back in the days when our parents was in need of a babysitter, they would take all the provisions that that child needed. They would take the bottles. They would take the formula. They would take, back in the days before Pampers, they would take the cloth diapers and the rubber pants. They would take the Johnson baby powder. They would take the Gerber food. They would do all and bring all the things that the child needed, to bring the formula, the Carol syrup, the carnation milk, and they had such a large variety, and they said, I want you to feed my babies. If you love me, you're going to feed my babies. You're going to take care of my babies. You're not going to neglect my babies. I'm not going to have to, I shouldn't have to put a nanny cam.
Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, can you hear me? You need to be dialed back in if you can hear me. Dial back in, hang up and dial back in if you can hear me.
And the lamb needed and need to be guided, need to be navigated through the toil and strife land. And once again, during the summertime months, so that our children will play, they will play themselves. They'll play themselves into exhaustion. Why? Because each is the last on their mind. So we have the time to do this. So the Lord said, feed my sheep. The Lord told him, feed. First of all, he said, feed my lambs. And in the process of him saying, feed my lambs, he told Peter once again. He said to him again, the second time, Peter, Brother Brown, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He asked him this question two times now. Sometimes when people ask us something and they're not sure the first time, then they ask us again to get the confirmation to make sure that that which we said, we believe it or we back it up. So he said unto him the second time. And he responded to him in kind, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He did said unto them, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now, the word said, I'm not saying, it said Peter was grieved because the Lord had asked him the same questions three times in a row. And he was aggravated. He was bent out of shape because the Lord would question him, as sometimes we do when we want the surety that someone is going to keep their word. Now, I want to bring something to your mind. When you sign for that house, when you sign for that car, when you did all of those things, they had a whole thick thing of papers that you had to sign, each and every last one of them. And each one of them was saying, are you sure? See, the Lord was asking, are you sure that you love me? Because not long before this particular event, Peter told the Lord, Lord, I would die for you. Lord, I'd do anything for you. Lord, I'm with you until the end. So sometimes we have to remind people, and see, this was a very important lesson unto Peter. But we all know that even after Peter said what he said, that he turned around and he denied the Lord. So the Lord asked him, and I don't know whether it was a parallel as far as him asking three times and Peter denying the Lord three times, but sometimes we have to go through this particular protocol to make sure that that individual knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that their word is out there, that their word and their bond. As I say, Peter was, he was grieved. He was aggravated. He said, Lord, you know that I do. So once again, the expectation of love said, feed my sheep. Take care of my babies. Look out for them. And see, in some periodicals, some publications, it says, tend to my sheep, which is feeding them. Take care of their needs, which is also feeding them. Live a good life before them. Because whether we know it or not, and we got to be extra careful, some people feast upon our foolishness. We don't believe. Watch how some people salivate when the individual is out there doing wrong, and they try their best to emulate that individual. So whether we know it or not, we don't necessarily have to feed an individual by giving them something that is of a solid. They can watch us and they can learn from us. And so now is the time that we must, especially during this holiday season, because in previous lessons that the Lord allowed me to bring forth, it said that there was going to be a famine. Not of bread and water, but of the word of God. And see, this food that is being fed tonight is God's word. So now while the opportunity is there, that's why the poem that was brought forth to us tonight, that we have to make sure, whatever your position is, whatever your office is in the church or out of the church, we're no more than waiters. And by being a waiter, then the meal is already prepared. We have to conduct ourselves in such a way because a lot of people won't go to church. Why? Because they old drunken daddy. Because they old flirtatious mother. They will look at your activities and they will reject God's word. I have heard many people say, if going to church means that I got to be a drunk, then I'd rather not go to church. If going to church means that I can cheat on my wife, then I'd rather not go to church. So that's why it's necessary that we live that clean life that God is calling for in these last and evil and troubled days. The expectations are easy. And if you notice, I said the expectations. And see, expectations is much more different than to demand someone to do something. Because, see, when you demand somebody to do something, it's taking away their choice. But, see, the Lord is not going to force himself upon anybody. He's going to give us that choice. He said, I'm expecting you, Peter, to feed my sheep. I'm expecting you, preacher, to feed my sheep. I don't care how they act. I don't care how the congregation act. Feed my sheep. I don't care how your brother, your sister act. Feed my sheep. And that's very important because sometimes, as I said earlier, when we get what some people call a righteous attitude at people, then the first thing we do, we want to withdraw that which they need the most. We want to withdraw our knowledge from them. We want to withdraw our finances from them. We want to withdraw all the nutrients that God has given us to give them. Well, shoot, they acting funny, so I'm not going to say anything to them. So what if they don't like you? The job of the waiter is to serve. The job of the preacher is to serve, to bring forth that word. The job of Peter was to serve and to feed the Lord's sheep. Do you love me more than these? Does your love for me supersede the love that you have for this contrite brother or this outgoing sister? Do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord. No, that I do. You know it's all things. Well, feed my sheep. Brothers and sisters, do not let your vanity get in the way when it comes down to feeding God's sheep. So what if they don't like your hair? So what if they think that your suit is outrageous? Bring forth God's word. Because people, they're going to find, or they're looking for, or Satan is going to give them a reason not to like you, not to receive you, because God's word said, at least you do unto these, my little ones, you do unto me. So we shouldn't take that personal. Why? Because all those things that is going on against you is not against you, they're against the Lord. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So all of these things that we withdraw ourselves away from, if you love, as the word is saying, the expectations of love is that we do what is right. That's all. You don't have to go out to do what is right. Doing what is right is a verb. It requires action. It requires a demonstration. So, moving right along, we ask ourselves, why would the Lord designate Peter, or why would he tell Peter to feed his sheep, knowing not long ago that Peter denied him? Well, see, it's a word that not many of us use, but it's a word that I'm going to throw at you. It's called repentance or forgiveness. See, when we ask the Lord to forgive us, sometimes most of us don't really know what forgiveness is. But if I ask you to forgive me, I'm just simply stating that which I did against you, that offense that I brought against you, I will do no more. Because, see, God is a God of second chances. Oh, where would I be if the Lord hadn't showed the mercy unto me, unto which he showed me? When I was in trouble and didn't know how to get out, and that preacher man or that preacher woman or that neighbor from down the street spoke words of wisdom to me, and they were feeding my soul. So this is a 24-hour, you on call, Christian, to constantly do what it is that the Lord have you to do, which, as I say, the expectations he's expecting you, he's expecting me to feed his sheep. Don't hold back, because, see, some things that when you're forced to do some things, you automatically reject it. You automatically don't have no zeal for doing that. But when you do something on your own free will, it's just such a magnificent power. It's just such a magnificent pleasure out of doing something out of the kindness of your heart that cannot be duplicated as if you was forced to do it. Because those things are charitable events that we do, and people just don't know how to respond. They just turn around and they rend us. We say to ourselves, I would have did it anyway. These are the things right here. When you feed somebody, you don't have no regrets about feeding nobody. Because over there in Isaiah, we're in a lot of part of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, somewhere in there, where God's word is talking about those greedy dogs. Now see, if you're a greedy dog, and I'm not calling a man a dog, because God's word is constantly comparing man to the activities or the characteristics of animals. Like fox is sly, owl is wise, eagle has keen sight, dogs are greedy. Dogs, you can chase them away, and the next time you know, they're sniffing again at your garbage, tipping over your garbage and everything. They're taking what's yours, and they're making it theirs. So God is letting us know to feed. And see, there have been times when you've invited people over to your house and you had a pretty large gathering. But the greedy dogs, what they do, they sat down at the table and ate up all, you know, you had enough for everybody to get full, but the greedy dogs sat down at the table and they ate up all the food from everybody else. So God is telling us, the Lord is telling us, to feed my sheep. Don't hold back. Do what is right by them. Give them the nutritional things that they need in order to thrive in this unfair and this unfriendly world. Peter, if you love me, Don't get aggravated because I asked you a few times. And this is what happens frequently when somebody asks us to give us confirmation, and the word that they use are you sure? When we go and make the closing cost or the closing on our house, and we sign all those papers, every last one of those papers, I say, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Every time you sign your signature, you're saying, I'm sure. I'm sure I'm going to live up to this obligation. I'm going to do what is necessary for me to do. So that's no more than right for us to do what it is that the Lord is expecting us to do. Preacher, no matter how, as I said, that congregation respond to you, no matter how that what they think about you, feed the sheep. The Lord is saying, and one remarkable thing about this, that after or when they had dined, if you notice now, a lot of times before you eat, we become very aggravated before we eat because with those stomach pains and our stomach get to growling and everything. But then later on, if you notice, after you eat and had a peaceful meal, you become receptive to a whole lot of things. Things that were a bad idea an hour ago before you ate is not such a bad idea now. So sometimes we have to catch people at the right time. But when it comes down to God's word, we're supposed to bring it forth in season and out of season. So when the people want, and sometimes people will beg for the word. Sometimes people seem like they're sitting on their hands and the word is not penetrating. But see, it's not your job to sit back and be like Jonah, which when I think about it is almost like a coincidence because, see, he went forth and he fed God's sheep. And all the people in Nineveh, they repented. And because God responded to them, because they were the hated enemies of the Assyrians, Ninevites were. And so, because God didn't respond in the way in which Jonah thought that he should respond, Jonah began to pout. Jonah began to have animosity and everything. See, and this is why this is a good parallel to what I'm saying. See, if you love me, hey, you just do what I say. Don't stick around for the results. Don't get upset. Don't become bent out of shape when God shows mercy to those people who we feel that they need to be born in oil. Because it's been a few times that I should have been in that cauldron. But the mercy of God through his people is shown through. And he's not now. We're not going to, we're not, you know, and people get mad when God shows you mercy. People really get upset. But the point is that we got to constantly feed God's sheep. We can't hold back in no kind of way. Peter was grieved, but he knew that the Lord was telling him right. He knew that the sheep and the overseers, those waiters that's out there, that God is directing each and every last one of us that hold a position in the house of prayer, in the tabernacle, in the mosque, in the wherever our place of worship is. Wherever we hold a position at, God is expecting for us to feed his sheep. And we've got to go over the full scope of what it is to feed them. We don't have to force them to eat. Because if you notice, when you feed a baby, they can't take it in fast enough. So as you get that spoon away from their mouth, they open up their mouth and to feed on God's word. Then sometimes, for those that don't like vegetables, you have to put the vegetables on the side. But guess what? They eventually come back to it. It's not our job to force them to eat. It said feed them. It didn't say hit them over the head with a hammer, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
The three different phases of feed them. He said the first one, feed my lambs. So we got to take care of the babies. And then we have to feed the sheep. We know that the sheep are contrary, and God constantly, the Lord constantly referred to his disciples as sheep. And in the earlier verses of this particular scripture, he called them, he said, children. He said, children, what are you doing? Have you caught anything? So, and we know that children need to be led. We know that there is nobody that's grown. See, God is the only one that's grown. God is the only one that's grown. So each and every last one of us have that position of a sheep. And even those that have reached, I'm going to say, an adult, we still have some immature ways when it comes down to God's word. So one of the feed is to tend. The other one is to minister unto them. And them ingesting the food that God has bought for, other than them to bring forth this food. Now, don't let it be because of you that God's sheep is not eaten, that his lambs is not eaten, that your hands are dirty, that your life is unhygienic. All of these things are very important. Now, the worst thing to do now, that's when we go to restaurants and the waiter has a terrible attitude. Now, the food can be good, but sometimes we forget all about the food and we concentrate on the attitude of that waiter. And, man, that waiter, excuse me, that waiter really had a funky attitude. I'm not coming back here no more. So that wonderful establishment that we just left will become discredited. Why? Because of the conduct of one. Now, we should not allow ourselves or never allow ourselves to be in that position, standing on a high wall and doing things to offend God's people. Now, God's word is going to offend a lot of people. Why? Because it's telling them the truth. And when you tell the truth, but see, those that is telling the truth too, they'll come back later on if they really receive it, and they'll apologize to you. Say, I'm out of character when I said that. I really was beside myself. So those that we bring forth the word to, those which are fed, and we all need to be fed. There's not a one of us right now, you know, it's a lot of us, excuse the expression, and I'm going to start with myself first. See, that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us that think that we thriving, but guess what? We spiritually malnourished. Now, that's something else to be spiritually malnourished. And see, we know that God's word over in Deuteronomy, it says that the Lord describes his word food for his people. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we know that God's word is food. We know that God's word is nutritious. We know those that are been appointed to be servants and servers and waiters and busboys and greeters, those are very important positions in the church. The greeter is the usher coming there with a smile on their face. Because I know it's been many ushers that have, when I went to various vineyards, usher made me feel like, hey, I'm the most important person in that place. Oh, how you doing, brother? You know, shaking my hand and, okay, hold on, man. We're going to get you a good seat. So all of these people, and as I said, it covers everybody, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, whatever it is that you feed, make sure that it's the word of God. So the Lord was telling, because the expectations of love, then it's expecting you to feed the sheep, help them to grow, give them the proper nutrition that they need. Because all those things, you know how we used to think when Popeye come on that spinach is going to make you strong and so forth and on, but, you know, and they say milk helps build strong bodies 12 ways and Wonder Bread and all these things. They talk about all of the benefits of food. But see, God's word got benefits that you could never imagine. Got the benefits that will help you and help me navigate our way through the rigors of life. So I thank God for giving me this opportunity talking about the expectations of love. They're simple. Peter, it's simple. Feed my sheep. Preacher, no matter how the congregation act, feed the sheep. Deacon, no matter how they respond to you or they get attitude because you tell them to hold on a minute while the pastor's praying, feed the sheep. Because whether you know it or not, if you don't feed the sheep are feeding off of you, and they're feeding off that negative stuff that we sometimes bring in ourselves. So I thank the Lord for this opportunity. May God bless you and may ever keep you. And I'm now going to turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again for that much-needed word for such a time as this. Expectations of love. Feed my sheep. What an awesome word on tonight from Deacon Marvin Cox. And what an inspiring poem, I try. So that's what the Lord is looking at. Are you even trying to reach my expectations? And I love what the way Deacon Marvin Cox brought it out so plainly and clearly. And it's very true. God do not force himself on anyone. See, God is a gentleman. He will give you and I choices. It's up to us to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So the choice is yours. So if you are not saved in the name of Jesus on today, after hearing this awesome word on tonight, expectations of love through Deacon Marvin Cox, I pray that you have now decided to open your mouth and mean it from your heart and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and your transgressions and for him to come into your heart to save you from your sins, so that once he do that, you will come to know your God purpose in the earth. You will be able to walk in them. You will be able to live in them and fulfill them in the earth for God's glory. So that's what it's all about. So man or woman of God, whoever you are, if you are anointed of God, you have been appointed and chosen by God to preach his word, to stand on his word and preach and teach his word. Just like Deacon Marvin Cox said, the word of God says we got to preach and teach God's word in season and out of season, because there are going to be a lot of times that some people are not going to hear God's word. So we who are faithful doers of God's word, we are to not only hear God's word, but we are to be doers of God's word as well. So I pray that this word has been received on tonight in love. And I thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank God for him. And we're going to continue to pray his strength, that the Lord will continue to bless his life, that he will continue to be able to share inspirational poems such as the one on tonight, again, titled, I Tried. And then we're going to continue to pray for Deacon Marvin Cox, that the Lord will continue to bless his life, to continue to use him and to stand on the wall, to be that bridge that draw people together to Jesus Christ through his word, that those that are not saved in his name will be saved, and that those that are saved in his name that have gone astray for whatever reason will come back to the fold and those that are in the body of Christ all over the land that hear the word of God will be built up and strengthened and edified through God's word. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox, and then we don't want to forget you, the listener, the faithful listener. Thank you for tuning in faithfully to this ministry. And I pray and ask God continually that you would continue to tune in and be blessed by this ministry. And I ask that you would continue to go out, share this news about this ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed by God's word. So right now we're going to close out in prayer on tonight. We're going to give God the glory because we know that he is truly worthy to be praised. And I pray that you would tune in on this coming Saturday night, December the 29th, where none other than Pastor Norman King, he is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be bringing forth the word on this coming Saturday night at 8 p.m. So you want to tune in and be blessed by him through the word that's going to be brought through him on this coming Saturday night. And also, do not forget the other shows that the Lord has blessed me to have up under my direction. Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. Clinically Speaking with C. Eva Renee. And then also Ministry Impossible by Minister Sharon Rambis. You want to tune into those shows and be blessed by them as well. So we're going to close out in prayer. And once again, I want to thank my nephew, Robert Edwards, for opening up tonight's program with prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We know that you are worthy to be praised. We thank you that you are not like man. We thank you that you cannot lie, you cannot fail nor change. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, what we see or what we hear or even what we think, we who are saved in Jesus' name, we know that you have all power in your hands and you never slumber nor sleep. So we thank you again for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're truly worthy to be praised. We continue to ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless those that are believed on tonight all over the land. Continue to comfort and strengthen their hearts as only you can. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver because we know that you are still working miracles even today. Touch someone's life. Heal someone on tonight, Heavenly Father, that the world through them would know that you are God and it's that you are the one that has healed them. That others can know that you're real and that those that see this and hear this would turn around and give their life to Jesus Christ if they're not yet saved in his name. So we bless your name on tonight. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and we ask that you will continue to bless this worldwide ministry, that it will continue to grow and be everything that you have called for it to be, even before the foundation of the world, all for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise once again. We can't thank you enough. We can't praise you enough because of who you are. You are awesome, God. You're worthy to be praised. We just bless your name on tonight. So we ask that you will continue to move by your spirit in our lives, individually, and then as a corporate body of believers all over the land, that you be glorified through us individually, and then as a corporate body of believers. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said, amen. Well, on tonight, we again thank God for the listeners. We thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox being able to come back on and share another poem and another word from the Lord on tonight. But until the next time, until this coming Saturday, you want to tune in and be blessed by Pastor Norman King. And until then, you will continue to please give God glory, honor, and praise. Why? Because he is worthy to be praised. Until the next time, good night.